Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start at verse 2. 11 and verse 2, it says, "Now I praise you, because you remember me in everything, and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And all things originate from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God." Would you like to read 2 through 16?
The great service sisters were to learn secretly. One way of being, if one no year sick or create no name, okay? Who they were there, is she talk to the dealer to see not talking yellow, that color, not only that man know the path, the hill of the door for now. But shadow is that all the thing yellow, ye po quat the galala come creep, da po mu come po qua, da creep come yala, the ye po pala a bach kapata mege, the totala we a glomege, me club or co dog, me a ma hawa, a co a la, a kapo, me make ye po mula a bach kapata mege, the totala we a glomege, me the club or pa a co dog, me a ma hawa, co la la pola. Senior to work it, for good club of our coat, the batch of Patala you agree, Sikoa, for Quabo, the host would turn it down, Lula, La Udata. Dalene, so low to love me, Tamis, Saviva, Masado, for move the order of Kosu turning me over that lampo, Miba, a lady that here Kosu, that club of Wala, Masado, Patagra, me, Patala, the real of Wanuda, for what I mean. You are down for the family, and you let me get over.
We would like to think about rules for the church meetings.
Adam had rules. The rule for Adam was, don't eat the fruit. In the Old Testament, the priests who worked in the temple had rules. They had to wear a hat. And they had to wear a special vest. And they had to wear special clothing. Those were rules for worship when the Jewish people worshiped. So God also has rules for the church. And we're thinking about the church, and we're thinking about the rules that are just for the church when we come together. The rules in 1 Corinthians 11 are for church meetings. All right? And it's not for home Bible studies. It's for meetings when we get together just as a church. Can you translate that just that the rules that we have in 1 Corinthians 11 are for church meetings, not when we're outside of church? Just kind of tell everyone that, if you would, that will help. No? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. So that's very important. So look at verse 17, and we didn't read 17, but I will read it in English. It says, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Do you see the in verse 17 in English, it says, when you come together. So the instructions in the whole chapter for when we come together as a church. All right? And then also, verse 18, for in the first place, when you come together as a church. Do you see that repeating? When you come together, when you come together as a church. All right? Verse 20, again, therefore, when you meet together. And once again, he's saying, these rules that I'm giving, and in chapter 11, it's rules for the Lord's Supper, or the breaking of bread, and also rules for head coverings. And so the two big symbols of the church. But just, we did 20. The last one is 33. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, and that's to eat the Lord's Supper, wait for one another. We have home Bible studies. We have times of home prayer. We pray in our houses. We pray at the park. And Christians should pray. Christians should have times of teaching. But when the church gets together, the church is special. Because the Lord Jesus promises to meet with us as a church. And the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the rules we have are rules for church meetings. And so I hope that that is clear. Also, from what we've read, the rules are new commandments for the church. This is different than Israel. In Israel, a few people were priests. In the church, every man and every woman is a priest. God makes believers priests. So there's new rules for how we worship in the church. Though the rules are new commandments for the church, or new rules given from God through the apostles. Now, Paul, in verse 2, said that, and I'll read it in English. He says, now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions. In English, it says the traditions. It says, hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. A tradition that Paul is talking about is what he gave to them. And he's saying, first God gave me this truth and these new rules. I took it directly from God, and then I'm giving it
directly to you. So Paul's in the middle, but he's giving the new rules for worship in the church.
And so it is the Word of God. Now, the rules in 1 Corinthians 11 regulate, or they're rules, for all the symbols given by God for the church. The symbols that God has given to the church. God has given the symbol of the bread and the wine. Alright? That is like, you could either say that's one symbol or that's two symbols. And that's when we come together as a church, there will be rules for breaking bread. There'll be rules for the Lord's Supper. But that's two symbols. The symbol of the bread and the symbol of the wine. Also, there is another symbol for church meetings. And the other symbol for church meetings is a covered head or an uncovered head. So really, there's two symbols. A man's head in the meeting should be uncovered. A woman's head just in the meetings should be covered. And maybe when God gave this rule to Israel that the priest should have a hat on, they said, well, why? But God gave them no reasons. But today, when God gives the rules for us as believers, why shouldn't the men wear a hat in church? Well, God gives reasons. Why should a woman have a hat or covering of some kind in church? Well, God gives us reasons. So this is a lot better than what God gave to Israel in their worship, because he's going to tell us why. And it's very easy to understand. It's very easy to understand. And we'll think about, why does God give these symbols? But today we're going to focus on just the head covering. The two symbols in the meetings of the church are head covering and the Lord's Supper. Now, what did I forget? I've got the head covering. I've got the bread. I've got the wine. What other symbol does God give to the church?
Baptism.
That's a symbol, isn't it? It's a symbol that you died with Christ and you go under the water. And you're raised to eternal life and you come out of the water. It's just a symbol of what Jesus did for you. But really, it's a symbol that's not practiced in the church. It's a symbol that's shown I am a believer. And it's the symbol that says, well, then I should be in a local church and I should be with the Christians now. So we don't practice baptism every day in church. But every time we get together as part of the church meetings, we practice the head covering and we see the symbols of the Lord's Supper. One man, I think, who was baptized, Ethiopian eunuch, he did not go to church to get baptized. He believed. And right away, the person who led him to the Lord Jesus, he asked him, "What keeps me from being baptized?" And the man who talked to him, Philip, was an evangelist or a preacher. And he said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Right then and there, they didn't wait for a church meeting. They went down into the water and he baptized him and brought him up. In the very first story of people trusting Jesus Christ in the book of Acts, when the gospel first went out, people believed and they didn't wait for a church meeting to baptize them. They went out and they baptized them. But when they come together as a church, then we have these two symbols. If you want to say the head covering and the non-head covering and the Lord's Supper with the bread and the wine. They are 1 Corinthians 11 and God explains them both. In verse 2, what must we understand before we can understand the symbol of head covering? What does verse 2 tell us before you can understand why? Because I ask, why should I not wear a hat? Why should my wife wear a covering? And God says, first, You need to understand something first. And in verse 2, verse 3, wrong, it's verse 3. In verse 3, he says, but I want you to understand. You see the word in English? It's verse 3. I apologize. I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. What does he want us to understand first? Christ is the head of every man. Now, I put these symbols up here. Do you know these symbols? Okay. This is my symbol for God the Father. Okay. This is my symbol for Jesus Christ, God the Son. Okay. God the Father, God the Son. This is my symbol for men. Males. Alright? This is the symbol for women. Females. Alright? So, that's all the symbols I have up here. This is God. This is God the Father, God the Son. This is men and this is women. So, let's try that just so we are on the same page here. This is God what? Everybody. God the Father. This is God the Son. This is man and this is woman. Alright, so remember those. That's easy, easy, harder, harder. Man, woman. Okay, so you've got it. The first thing that we understand in reading this is that Jesus Christ has a head. And his head is God the Father. Headship is a part of who God is. It's his nature. Is God the Father better than God the Son? No. They are equal in value. But did God the Son, Jesus Christ, obey God the Father? Well, yes, he did. He even said, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and within that, Paul says that there is an order of submission and headship inside God's nature. Headship is a part of who God is. This Jesus Christ did not become God the Son when he was born. God the Father was always the eternal Father. God the Son was always eternally God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit was always eternally God the Holy Spirit. But what Paul is explaining is, he says, first, before you can understand head coverings, you need to understand headship in the God, within God's nature. So we might ask the question, what is a head? Sounds like a stupid question, doesn't it? What is a head? First of all, head is what you wear on your... This is my head, right? Okay, this is my head. Okay. But a head also... Do you have a head at work? Do you have the... what would you say? Quaco? A chief person? A head person? Okay. What is a head? It's the thing on your shoulder, but it's also a person who has authority over you. Okay, at work, my boss's name was Rick, and he was my head, and he told me what to do at work, and I did what he said. And we were, as people, the same value, but he was my boss, and I submitted to him. And so, we need to understand that there is a thing on your shoulders, your physical head, that is your head, but also a person who has authority over you is a head. Paul is going to use this word two ways. When you see head, you have to say, is he talking about this head? Or is he talking about the person, Jesus Christ, who is in charge of me? Or is he talking about the person, God the Father, who's in charge of Jesus Christ? Or is he talking... So, we have to look at this and see. But what we need to see is God the Son is equal to God the Father, but he is under his authority. Now, this is something that if you understand this, everything will be clearer. And Paul says, I want you to understand this. So do you got it? Jesus Christ has a head. Who is the head of Jesus Christ? God the Father. Who is the head of Jesus Christ? God the Father. All right. And so, now, look at the order in verse 3. He says, I want you to understand that Christ is the head of what? Christ is the head of what? Every man. So, his first statement is, I want you to understand Christ is the head of every what? Man. We have man. This is Christ, this is man. And that's easy to understand. Christ is my head. He's the authority over me, isn't he? I obey him. So he starts with that, which is easy. And he says, the man is the head of a woman. And so he's saying, God has given a woman a head, which is men. And so in a marriage relationship, a husband is the head of his wife. And he is responsible. And one day, a husband will answer to God for how he was in charge in his home. All right? So this is what God is saying. This is just in creation. Christ is the head of every man. Every man is the head of a woman. And then his last statement is, God is the head of Christ. So that's the order that he did it in. He says, Christ is the head of every man. Every man is the head of a woman. And God is the head of Christ. And so you have an authority structure. And it works very well for God. It doesn't work well for us because of sin. I don't want you to be my boss. I don't want you to tell me what to do. Authority is always very hard. Sometimes I say at work about my boss, I said, that was a stupid decision that the boss made. But because of sin, I want to say, I don't want to do that. But because he's my boss, I do it. But sin always twists this. But this is the clear statement. And Paul says, first understand this. And then what God is going to say is going to make sense. He says, God made people in the image of God. You understand that? When God made men and women, he made them like himself. And so how did God make men and women by himself? The relationship between male and female, and there you are, is this male or female?
Men.
Men. Is this women or men?
Women.
Okay, and this is God the what? And this is God the
Son.
Okay? The relationship between men and women is a little bit like the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. When God makes people in his image, just you as a man are not completely the picture. The complete picture, the full picture of the image of God in man is completed in a husband-wife relationship where both of these people together reflect who God is in his nature. And so that's very important to see, that this is the image of God. And so what we do with head covering now is head covering will show in symbol that Christ is the head of the church. This is the goal of head covering. It's not just so that someone will wear hats and someone won't wear hats. It's that we want to show Jesus Christ as our head. In church. When we come together as a church, we want to show not only ourselves, but we want to show the angels that Jesus Christ is the authority, that Jesus Christ is the very center of the church, of this local church. Alright? And we're going to show that in a symbol. And the symbol God is going to be used is head covering. And so, the symbol of your head symbolizes your spiritual head. Who is the head of every man? Christ. As a man, your head is Christ. So this is your head, right? But who is your spiritual head? Christ. You've got two heads. If you're a man, you've got two heads, right? You've got this head here, okay? But you have a head Christ. So your head is a symbol of your head who's in heaven. And then for the sisters, their head also is a symbol, but their head is a symbol of the man, the male, who is over them. It's the way God created people. He created men first, and he says, I will make a helper suitable for man, and then he created women. And so in the husband-wife relationship, the wife helps, and the wife has a head who is her husband. And so my physical head symbolizes my spiritual head. So what should men do? Our goal is when we get together, show Jesus to the angels. Show Jesus to ourselves as our sin. Well, men, uncover your heads and show Christ. Okay. Here's a man, right? That's a man.
Yes.
He's got no head covering, right? So his head is pointing to Jesus. Who is he showing when he uncovers his head? When he comes into church and he takes his hat off, who is he showing? Jesus. The man takes his hat off, he points to Jesus. It's a symbol. And God has only given us a couple symbols. Alright? That's why men uncover your heads and show Christ. So let's read this. Men, uncover your heads and show Christ. Did you notice that the first command is to men? The second command is to women. So first, he says, men, you need to not be like this. He says, a man with a hat in church, and this doesn't cover, this is just in the church meetings. A man with a hat in church is, he says, it's a disgrace for a man to pray with his head covered. This is a head cover. I don't know, it's a hat. It's a veil. It's something on his head. So, if a man prays this way, he's covering up the Lord Jesus like he's ashamed of him. Are you ashamed of Jesus? No! You take your hat off and you say, I'm praying to my head, Jesus Christ. Or I'm teaching, or I am prophesying in church through my head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, men, we are first. And men, it is our responsibility to lead. It's your responsibility to lead in the home, right? But in the church, we get to show that sin has reversed the rebellion of Satan, has reversed the rebellion of Adam, and now we have submission in the church. We're doing things right. So, let's see. Oh, we have ladies too. Alright? What does he say to the ladies? Ladies, cover your heads and hide men. Okay? Here is this a man or a woman?
Woman.
Woman. Okay? And there's a man. Why is she covering her head? Because she does not want this person to be seen. She wants to cover her spiritual, her symbolic head, which is man. So when a lady covers her head, she's saying, I do not want men to be seen in the meetings of the church. When a man uncovers his head, he's saying, I want Jesus Christ to be seen as head in the church. So in church meetings, we want to show by visible symbol that Christ is our invisible head. Does that make sense? God wants the church meetings to be about Christ, not man. So let's go at this. The first argument, or the first point that Paul makes, is from God's headship. The divine headship means the way God is. Divine headship. So we use our head to reveal your head in the meetings, both by men not wearing a head covering and women wearing a head covering. You know, any kind of hat or anything like that is a head covering. The next argument, or his next reason, is from creation. And this is what we're going to read here. Now, he goes on here. Let's just do verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7 in English. And it says, "For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake." And we'll stop right there at verse 9, just verses 7 through 9. Do you see the word glory in those verses? In verse 7, you see the word glory? All right. It says, "A man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God." Now, if the man uncovers his head, whose glory is being shown? In this case, he's the image and glory of God. The glory and image of God is being shown. And this is because of the way God created people. But the image, the glory of the woman is the glory of man. When a woman covers her head, she's hiding her glory. So do you see the two things? A head covering on a woman is hiding her glory. And the open head of a man is showing his glory. And once again, it's a little different. The first reason was because of who God is. God has a head. God the Son has a head. And God the Father is that head. That's why we cover our heads, to show headship. This reason is from creation. And in creation, God created man to show his glory. And so when a male uncovers his head, his glory is revealed. When a woman covers her head, her glory band is covered. And the bottom line is, by covering and uncovering, only the glory of Jesus is revealed. Okay? So, reason number 2 was from creation. It's the way God created man and woman. Reason number 1 was because there is headship in the God. There's headship in God. And so if we look at it this way, here's a bunch of people. And we're in church. Alright? So I don't know, there's Craig, and there's Mark, and there's Nancy, and there's Eku, there's everybody is here. So welcome to church. Alright? So what we have in church is now a picture. Whose glory do we want to show in church? Mine? No, the glory of Jesus. We want to show the glory of Jesus. So let's just keep going here. There we go. There's a better picture. If the sisters' heads are covered and the men's heads are uncovered, it points to the glory of the church, which is Jesus. If the sisters' heads are not covered, it points to their glory, which is man. And so in this picture, man is getting the glory. But when men uncover their heads and sisters cover their heads, then all that is shown, in symbol, this is a symbol, okay? But we don't have very many symbols in the church. We're showing Christ's glory. So I hope that picture makes it a little clearer. Christ is the head. Christ is the glory. We hide the glory of man and we reveal the glory of God. So use your head to reveal Christ's glory in the meetings. Whether it's covering it to hide man or whether it's uncovering it to show Christ. Now, the next argument or the next reason, you know, argument means reason, right? Okay, the next reason is from the angels. And that was verse 10. He says, therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. And what does that mean? Guess what? I don't care what it means. Because all I need to know here is that angels are watching the meetings of the church when they happen. And they're actually observing if Christ is glorified when we come together as a church. And this is amazing. I just want to think of these three reasons right now. Why should men not cover their heads in church? Why should just during our meetings, not hold Bible studies or anything like that, but why should sisters have a covering? Well, because that's the nature of God. It's an argument from divine headship. That is also because of the way we were created as male and female. Also, there are angels. And they actually watch. Now, if you read a book on this subject, they're going to say, this was only for the church at Corinth because they had some kind of a problem. They will say, and they'll use the word cultural, they'll say, this was cultural. And this is something we don't have to do today. You know the word cultural? It's just culture. It's just like we do things. I'm German, so I eat sauerkraut. It's part of my culture. Alright? I don't eat sauerkraut to obey God. But which of these arguments have to do with culture? Which of these arguments have to do with what? This is nothing to do with culture. This is in the nature of God Himself. This is nothing to do with the culture of Corinth. It has everything to do with creation itself. Angels are not cultural. Angels are outside of culture. Every one of these arguments, and there is at least two more arguments in here, there's an argument from nature. Do you remember reading about long-haired men? It's a disgrace to them in this chapter. He really isn't talking too much about men's long hair. He's saying, look, even when you observe men and women normally, men have shorter hair than women, right? Why is that? It's just the way things are in nature. Normally, some men have really long hair. Well, that's the exception, not the rule. And so he's saying, look, didn't even in nature God give the sisters a covering for their head? And he says, now how much more the church? Where we're not showing something natural, we're showing Jesus Christ and His glory. And then the last, I want to read one last verse, and that is verse 16. Verse 16 says, but if one is inclined to be contentious, he says, we have no other practice. Really saying we have no such practice as arguing about this, nor have the churches of God. In verse 16, who does Paul say practices this? It's all the churches of God. It's not just for Corinth. Paul is saying this is for all the churches. And he says it's for all the churches, and this is what we do, and we don't argue about it. It's what we teach, and this is the teaching, and this is one of the rules. So, here's the thing. Let's obey the few things God has given us in symbol. We want Jesus Christ to be the head and the glory of Oak Ridge Bible Chapel when we meet together. And here's one very easy way. It's just like baptism. It's something physical, and yet it has spiritual meaning. And here's some way we can show off Jesus Christ with something physical, but it has spiritual meaning. Well, if you have questions about this, I'd be glad to discuss them afterwards or at any time. But if not, what we'll do right now is we'll close in prayer, and we'll just pray that Jesus Christ would be the head and glory of Oak Ridge Bible Chapel. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is our head and that he is our glory. We want Jesus Christ to be seen by the angels when they observe the meetings of Oak Ridge Bible Chapel. We pray, Father, for this assembly that you will bless us. We pray that you will allow our lampstand to continue to burn brightly before you, that you might trim it, and Father, that you might work with the saints here, that you grow us up into maturity, into all the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for our week, bless our week, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.